Hey guys, my name is Mavi and I've spent the last 14 years in the plastic surgery and beauty industry, working alongside top board certified plastic surgeons. In that time, I've helped thousands of women in their surgical journey. My passion to educate and help women feel empowered is what led to what we now know as the Big Butts No Lies podcast. Join in on the fun as I talk to plastic surgery experts, friends, and real life patients about all things plastic surgery. Should be fun. Hey guys, I told y'all I had an episode for you, Faja 101. And who do I have to talk about this with? Who else but the Faja doctor?
Hey guys.
I'm so excited. So how many followers did you have when you came on the first time?
Oh my God. You know, that's a good question.
I think it was like 11. You were like 10, maybe like 10, 5 or 11.
Yep. I am on the cusp of 20.
Yay. Told you, you're a gem. Everything. When I saw your page, and you know, I had been in the game for a while. When I saw your page, right, I was like, wait, what? They do. She's what? How? Why aren't we doing this already? Why aren't we giving our fajas out like this, like to our patients? But then I realized, oh, there's a whole other world out here that I've even just now started to explore. You know, being in the office is very different than being out here with you guys. And the faja doctor, she was out here with you guys and she was like, oh, we need help. Nobody's doing this. I need to do this for us. And look at you, girl.
Thank you. It's so important. I appreciate it, Mavi. It's so important to bring different perspectives to the table. And this is something that shows, you know, having the perspective of a patient and, you know, what can be done with that, with a patient discovering a problem that there's no solution for. I always encourage my followers to, you know, experiment and, you know, trial and error with different things. Like if they find a problem that they can't really find a good solution for, be creative. You might be the next person finding something groundbreaking, which could really, really change your life. Because the Faja doctor really, really changed my life.
You know what? I'm so proud of you. And I'm so happy that you're saying all of these things, because that's exactly how I formulated Bruise Juice. I had been getting my lips done for years, 10 years plus, and I was getting them done once or twice a year this whole time. And every time I did it, I had to hide because I always bruise no matter what. I've had the best injectors. I've had all types of products. I've had small needles. I've had cannulas. Like I've had it all. And I always bruise. And when the last time that I did it, I was like, man, there's nothing for me to put on my lips. Nothing. And that's when I started thinking about, you know, why don't I put arnica on my lips? So I don't have bruising, or so I don't bruise. I formulated it, got it in a tube, went and got my lips done and to try it, you know, to try and make sure that it worked, used it the whole time and I didn't bruise. And I was like, my freaking God.
Wow. I love this. Guess what? So I am dying to do the same thing. And the only reason I've been avoiding it is because of the bruising. And I can't just be out here walking around with purple lips.
Yeah.
This is so good that I'm going to have to hit you up about that.
Yeah, girl, I'll send you one. I was actually, for this episode, I was going to give all of your followers and all of your listeners, everybody who follows us, everybody who's a Faja Doctor fan, can get a promo code for Bruise Juice. So,
oh my gosh, share with me that. I'm looking for a pen and paper as we speak.
I was going to call the promo code Faja Doctor 101.
Love it.
Love it. So you guys, whenever you go look for your Bruise Juice, because Bruise Juice is not just for lips, it's also for your body after your liposuction, which we're going to talk a lot about liposuction today. After your liposuction, after your tummy tuck, after anything where you are going to be bruised or swollen or have inflammation, you have to use your Bruise Juice. Like you have to. It's completely different than anything that's out there. For one, and I just realized this, I don't know how it took me so long. People are putting mentholated things on their skin after surgery. All of these creams that are out there now for arnica and bruising and swelling, and they're for arthritis and stuff like that. They have other ingredients that are for like bone pain and just other alcohols and stuff like that, that you don't even, stuff that you don't need on your freshly operated on skin.
Right, which is super fragile.
Yes. So true. Yes, exactly. And you know, I think a lot of women don't realize that when you have surgery, your skin gets super sensitive. Things things that didn't cause you any, and you'll mm-hmm. probably know this too, because you've been dealing with a lot of post-op patients. Anything can make your skin have an allergic reaction.
Absolutely. I refer to that, like, the first month post-op skin to Play-Doh. Because mm-hmm. it's Play-Doh. It's going to show all kind of dents and lines and prints of whatever you're laying on or wearing. And people don't need to. Don't worry about that. It's completely normal. It's a natural course of the process of your recovery. Do not worry. Now, if you still see something weird after 3 months, talk to your surgeon.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk to your surgeon. He should still be following up with you.
Absolutely.
So today I wanted to do, who needs to wear a faja? Why do they need to wear a faja? For how long do they need to wear a faja? What does the faja do? And then these girls on our Instagram page submitted a lot of questions. And then, so let's go over their questions. Let's answer the questions for our girls who are confused and lost and anxious about it.
Absolutely. So let's dive in.
Okay. So who needs to wear a faja? The answer to that, go first. Who needs to wear a faja?
I would say, let me back up a little bit. I consider a faja a hybrid between like a corset / waist trainer and something like Spanx or Skims, like, you know, the regular compression wear that we're all used to and you can buy anywhere. It has the snatched waist effect that a waist trainer has, with the ability to be disguised and hidden under clothing like Spanx. So that would be like my best way of describing it. And having said that, we all know that Spanx, waist trainers, and so forth are highly, highly popular amongst all people, not just women, men too, everyone. We love that, those types of products. They make us feel more confident with our clothes on. You know, it just complements certain outfits a lot better. So having said that, anyone can wear a faja. I specifically, majority of my clients, I would say about 95%, are post-op patients, people who had either tummy tuck or liposuction or anything that will create swelling in your midsection. So with the faja, and I'm going to dive deeper into that question a little later, but the faja helps make you feel a lot better while you're recovering, while helping you get the best result possible that, you know, your surgeon did on the operating table. But I also have clients who literally just want to be snatched for a wedding dress, or they just want to have a nice, you know, they have some kind of event to go to and they want to be like really put together under their dress, which mm-hmm. with no one necessarily knowing. I also have a lot of clients, actually, and that number keeps growing, who are postpartum ladies who just had babies.
Yes.
Yes, I know. Because that, and you know what? My son, I have a son, he's 7 years old. I used to, after my pregnancy, I remember I did not know what to do. There was this thing called a belly bandit on the market.
Which oh, yeah. Yeah, I had one.
Oh, you do? Exactly. So I used that, but I was never really impressed with it. And what I find with waist trainers alone is that your lower abdomen gets ignored. However, the lower abdomen is the part that actually takes the longest to recover because our skin there is really thin. And gravity pushes all the fluid down to the lower abdomen. So a faja does provide support in that area that a waist trainer does not. So I guess with that, we're going to actually dive into the next question. What was that again? You said who? And then
let me cover who I think should be in a faja.
Yes.
So, okay, you guys, if you have had any type of surgical procedure to your abdomen, thighs, back, flanks, arms, anywhere where you have skin that could possibly loosen up, I want you in a faja. If you've had any type of tummy tuck, mini tummy tuck, anything like that, you need to be in a garment. And let me tell you why. The garment has a purpose. And one of my most common questions that I get is, how come some doctors require you to wear a faja immediately? And other doctors, you know, they'll keep you in a binder the whole 6 weeks. So One thing that I want to tell y'all, because I see it all the time, is when I talk to y'all about styles, different style surgeons, and make sure you talk to three different style surgeons. This is one of those things that's a surgeon's style. There's surgeons who do a tummy tuck and put you in a binder and keep you in a binder. And then at 6 weeks, you're out of it. And good luck. We'll see you later. We'll see you in a year. We'll see you in 2 years. And that's how they run their practice. And it's perfectly acceptable for them. That's their style. There's a different style of surgeon, which is you have your surgical procedure and they want you in a garment immediately. And you're staying in a garment for a minimum of 8 to 12 weeks. And you're moving from a stage one to a stage two to a stage three. And you're having lymphatic drainage massages. That's a different style surgeon. All of those things that y'all need to learn about your surgeon. You need to learn their style. And then when I tell y'all to come to me so I can help you find the right surgeon for you, that's one of those things that I look at. Is this that style patient who is okay with the binder? Now, what would make you that style patient, right? Somebody could ask, well, how do I know if that's my style? You need to be in an abdominal binder no matter what after a tummy tuck or liposuction, because there is now space between your skin and your fascia that needs to be compressed, that needs to get back together. So you need to be in something to, one, make sure that you don't have too much swelling and that the swelling is compressed, and two, to adhere that, you know, make that skin adhere back. Man, that was a long talk. I lost my breath. But so that's why some doctors do it, some doctors don't. That's one of my questions that I hear almost every day. Do I need to wear a faja? My doctor said I don't need one. You know, I see online that I do. Listen to your doctor always. Follow your surgeon's instructions. But if I were having a procedure, a surgical procedure, I'm going to be in a faja for at least 8 weeks. So I still wear my faja, and it's been 2 years. Sometimes.
I love my fajas too. I still wear them too. I'm like, I'm actually, tomorrow is my 1 year surgery anniversary.
Yay! And look how much your life has changed.
I know, it's so, it's literally mind blowing. Like, it's crazy. It literally is.
I can't believe it. And it makes me so happy, because if y'all listen to my episode, What's Holding You Back from Living Your Best Life, I talk about, I don't know that I would have had the balls or the guts to go after my podcast chasing, you know, plastic surgery education dream if I hadn't had my surgery. Not that I didn't have the knowledge. I already knew I had all the knowledge, but I didn't have that confidence that I needed.
That perspective.
Yeah.
Yes.
That push.
You know what? It's also the perspective of actually having lived through it that makes a huge difference between picking me for your faja alterations or someone who's just, you know, trained in pants and dresses and shirts. It's a huge, huge, huge difference, because I actually wore faja, you know, still do. I know what women want the fajas to feel like. You know, I know how we want to hide them under our clothing. I know that we want our boobs not to be smushed together by the straps. You know, a whole bunch of different things that I learned throughout my journey of recovering and wearing a faja every day that I now instill into the alterations that I provide my clients with.
Yeah, because you've lived it. You learned it. Now you have that firsthand experience, yes. Which I believe when you're educating, you know, somebody or teaching somebody about a process, like, you want to be able to say, when I did it, this is how it was for me.
That.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that's how I feel like I can explain things. Hey, this is how I did it, and this is how it worked out for me. You know, and obviously it can work out for you. Look at all you hot guys, hot girls. These faja alterations cannot be given to just anybody. You need an expert. You need somebody who's been doing it and somebody who can guide you through the process, which, you guys, if y'all haven't visited the Faja Doctor's Instagram or website, she has systemized that process to, you know, your measurements, how to get your measurements, which faja do I recommend for this? Girl, you got it down. for them?
I try to think of everything. I've been trained by my corporate job back in the day who, you know, I'm not going to say I hate them. I appreciate my old job very much because I learned so many things. And I'm instilling those best practices and everything in my business. And at the end of the day, this is my name. This is my legacy. This is for my family. So I deeply care about it and making sure that it's successful and that my clients are taken care of. So, but you know what? I actually have a hypothesis to get back to the question why some surgeons do or don't recommend Fajas. I thought about that for quite a while because that has been, you know, running through my head too. And I have an idea and it's two different versions of it.
Tell me. I'm excited to hear it.
Let's see if you agree. One, I believe that there are some surgeons out there who may be a little behind on, you know, plastic surgery recovery best practices. Because, I mean, I don't have to tell you, you've been in this industry for so long. The evolution in how we recover is insane.
It has changed.
Like so much. Like at some point, Fajas, nobody knew what Fajas were. Nobody knew that lymphatic massages were necessary, you know, all these things, the arnica gels and everything. And now people are understanding because more and more people are getting these surgeries and understanding how big of a difference it actually makes to be properly compressed, to get the right massages, obviously to pick the right surgeons and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so essentially one, behind on recovery best practices and, you know, focused on actually the medical part, which is very important, right? They are, at the end of the day, they're surgeons. But oftentimes these surgeons never actually had plastic surgery themselves or recovered. So they don't fully understand on their own body by, you know, from their own experience, how much of a difference that compression really makes. So that's my first theory. My other theory is some surgeons may also have had a bad experience with their patients having worn Fajas. It could be resulting from the fact that the wrong Faja was purchased or the wrong size. You know, I hear often that certain Faja stores try to put people in these super tiny sizes, which is completely ridiculous to me because they're risking the money that you put into getting this fat transfer if we're talking BBL here. So, you know, they try to squeeze you in these tight, small sizes, you know, to make sure that you buy the Faja because if they put you in the right size, the waist is likely going to be loose, but that would then mean that they would lose the sale. So that's just my whole theory behind it. So I'm sure some surgeons have experienced some bad results like fat loss in the hips or some dents or Faja burn, who knows what, just because there was not enough education on how to properly purchase a Faja.
So yes, your hypothesis or your theory number one, I agree with. There is a lot of doctors who are behind on the times, and
mm-hmm.
those are the doctors you'll see with abdominal binders.
I hate those binders. I can't even tell you how much. Every time I see a client with an abdominal binder, they have the same like pressure line right in the smallest part of their waist.
Mm-hmm.
But then it ignores completely the lower abdomen because just by design, all the pressure and the compression goes in the smallest part and then everything else just gets ignored.
Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense?
Yes. And that's why I hate abdominal binders. I do not like my patients to be in them, but
yeah,
here's the thing. You guys, have y'all ever been somewhere, visited somewhere, a place where there's a sign that says something ridiculous, like, you know, don't feed the bear, don't do this, or don't jump over this wall into this bear exhibit. But there's still a sign because somebody must have done it, right? Why is there a sign unless somebody did it? Okay. Now, with that in mind, somebody must have done something somewhere along the lines with abdominal binders and Fajas that could have caused skin necrosis. So there's a lot of risks when you wear a Faja that is too tight. And mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that because those places that are trying to fit you into Fajas, for one, you have to be sure that they're putting you in a stage one, because I have seen patients come in with stage twos for, you know, to use when they're 2 days out of surgery, you know, and
I see that a lot, by the way.
It's so risky. You guys, please don't do it. I know y'all want to be in a more restrictive garment, but The reason there's a stage one and a stage two is because the stage one has a little bit more stretch to it, and it's not going to compress you to the point where you have skin necrosis or, you know, something dies, some tissue dies because there's just so much pressure to it. That's not going to happen with the stage one, but that will happen with the stage two for sure.
I agree.
So we need to, and during this episode, Faha 101, if you are freshly out of surgery, you need to be in a stage one. Stage one, stretchy, soft, more flexible material. Mm-hmm. My recommendation is for you to stay in your stage one for at least 2 weeks. Stage one for at least 2 weeks. And that, especially if it's a tummy tuck. Liposuction, you can go less if it's just liposuction. But if it's a tummy tuck, I need you in that stage one for at least 2 weeks, if not three. And don't jump into the stage two too soon because your skin is not feeling the way it should be. So you could be compressing too tight and not know it because you don't feel it.
Right, right. Your nerves are still asleep, so they're not going to notify your brain that, uh-oh, something is wrong. And you know what? You said that so well. I totally agree that when you have a tummy tuck, there's this big scar that needs to be protected because mm-hmm. a lot of things can go wrong with bigger incisions like that. So definitely agreeing with you. I did not have a tummy tuck. I had Lipo 360 BBL, all of that fun stuff, which, mm-hmm. oh my God, best thing ever. But
for me but too, best decision I ever made.
Totally.
Still trying to figure out how to write it off.
I know, right? I know, right? I got to talk to my accountant. But yeah, so with me, for my specific surgery, I switched to my stage two on day 10 after my surgery, and it felt so amazing. It felt so, so, so good.
And that's fine. That works when it's a liposuction. If right. it's liposuction, that's perfect. You know, that's perfectly fine. Your doctor gives you the go ahead, green light, get into a stage two. That's perfect. But for tummy tucks, like when you get a tummy tuck, that skin is lifted off of your abdomen and then placed back down. Imagine like a crust of a pie, like you're putting it on your pan. You have to, you know, stick in the corners, you know, really put it in. Right. For it to stay. And that's what your faja is doing. It's pushing everything. It's pushing the corners. It's applying even pressure to your whole abdomen. And it's making everything kind of just go back in place or add Absolutely. Here, add here. So it's very important. And if you have a doctor that you are considering who tells you, oh, you know, I just keep them in a binder for 6 weeks and then you're done. It sounds exciting, but it would make me question, what are his techniques for recovery? Are you going to recommend me to have lymphatic massages? If they say no, then that's their style. And these are notes you need to be taking during your consultation. Okay, he says binder for 6 weeks. That's just his style. If you're okay with it, go ahead and book with it. But if you're not okay with that style, then you could look for another surgeon.
I would encourage people to, like, if you have a surgeon that you absolutely love and there's a good vibe, you feel good about choosing that particular surgeon, but that surgeon wants you to be just in a binder and what you're hearing about his or her recovery practices is literally the opposite of everything that you keep hearing in the surgery communities from dolls who are actually, you know, who have experienced this. I would encourage you to, you know, get yourself a stage one faja off Amazon. I have like several really good ones that are just $30 a piece on my Amazon shopping list, which by the way, I curated Amazon shopping list, you know, having done all the research for all of my followers with the best stage two fajas, thigh lipo sleeves, compression sleeves, arm lipo, compression, chin lipo, you name it. I have everything in there. Outfits for afterwards, swimwear that compresses, you name it, I put it in there.
I know, but thought about everything.
I know, I'm really trying. So I, you know, give that a try. Order one of those super inexpensive stage one garments. Give it a try. See how that feels. Because, you know, you might prefer that over the other method. I hate saying don't listen to your surgeon. That's less.
I know, that's why I'm saying listen to your surgeon. If that's not your surgeon's style, you can't force him to get that to be on that style. So you can, Absolutely. When you're during your consultation, if you're like, oh my God, I like him so much, but you know, he doesn't use a garment. If you're seeing him for tummy tuck and you're seeing all of his tummy tuck results on his website and you like it, and his way of treating his patients is with a garment, like, it's really, it's a decision that you have to make as a patient. And if you really like him, you can tell him, hey, I've heard online, you know, all of my girlfriends, this girl on this podcast, this Big Butts No Lies podcast says we have to wear a garment, a stage one. Can I bring this to you and you touch it and tell me if it's, if I can wear it, is it okay? And most of the time they'll say yes. They'll like, yeah, bring it in. Let me check it out. And it's just that their style is different. They'll say yes. And you'll be in your garment. It's a different style of surgeon who is like, I need you in a stage one for 3 weeks. You're going to be in a stage two, and then you're going to do this. So it's different to have your surgeon guide you through the faja process than for you to guide your surgeon. Hey, these are the fajas I want to wear. You know what I mean? So it's always to the patient. I'm always going to tell you guys to listen to your doctor. So listen to your doctor. If he's not telling you the things that you want to hear, then talk to another doctor. Just get another opinion.
Absolutely. And really, in addition to listening to your doctor, I think it's also extremely important for you to listen to your body. I've actually said that on the last episode as well. But this is really important, so I'm going to repeat myself here. But your body is going to tell you so much. And this recovery journey, if you are not already super in tune with your body, this recovery journey will for sure make you in tune, because your body will talk to you so, so, so much. So if you are in one of those binders, and it's really cutting you in the middle and you're not liking it, again, like Mavi said, run it by your surgeon, but give a stage one a try. Mm-hmm. They're so thin, so stretchy. It still allows you to, you know, even though you're
swollen, breathable.
Right. It's breathable. Like, you're swollen and massive and like you're stiff and everything, but it's so stretchy that it's significantly easier to put it on and take it off than a stage two. And by the way, you know what I've noticed? There's a lot of surgeons who actually give out fajas that are 100% stage two material, but they intentionally give them out in like a really big size so that the patients are not like overly compressed. And those fajas are actually great for, you know, through alterations, converting to true stage two fajas. Actually, the next one I'm doing is one of those. It was a stage one faja from Spectrum, but it totally is stage two material.
Oh, interesting. I want to see that, because it's like a hybrid kind of.
Oh yeah. Essentially you call it that. It's like a 2-in-1, because you know, you can start off with it and not have the fear of like being overly compressed, because the size was intentionally chosen to be big to the point where you can fit, you know, boards and foams and all that other fun stuff, but you know, it can be converted. So like you can have more of the faja for longer.
Yeah, that makes sense. What brand is that?
It's a whole bunch of different ones.
Oh, it's a different.
They're all different. The one that I'm about to do after our recording here is from Spectrum Plastic Surgery. So it looks like my client had her surgery and done at Spectrum. But I also see a lot that are by Diane and Jordy, which is a brand that you can also find on Amazon. I actually really like that brand. I have a lot of options by that brand on my stage two Amazon shopping list as well. But yeah, I see those a lot.
Oh, I like it. That's very interesting that the material is a little different.
Right.
What we want, you guys, you want to be compressed, not too compressed. You want to be comfortable. And what we're doing with the garments is we're helping your swelling go down. We're helping that inflammation, you know, stay under control. What we are not doing is shaping you more than what your surgeon has already shaped you.
Oh my God. Say that again. Because I hate it when there's people out. And I, you know what? Sadly, I've seen that actually in the industry as well. Like post-op massage places saying, oh yeah, the boards will mold you. The faja will mold you. Wait, what? In what world? Why would you give out such bad information and like get people's hopes up, right?
I know.
First of all, number one, who molded you? Is God. So that's number one. And then we had the surgeon, you know, add a little something, something here and there. Mm-hmm. So those are the two places that we were molded by. Nothing else is going to mold them. So no. The faja's purpose is, like you were saying earlier, to help guide the skin that was separated from the fascia back so that it can reattach itself. And that process takes time. Our body takes a long time to recover. And the part that really takes the absolute longest is the lower abdomen. Mm-hmm. From my experience, that's like probably the number one area of concern for definitely well over 95% of my clientele, including myself. Because gravity, right?
It pulls it.
Yes. Go ahead.
Gravity, it pulls it. And when you have liposuction, a lot of that fluid collects right there in that lower abdomen. And it also collects on your back in that very bottom part right before your butt, right there. So right there in the front and right there on the back. That's where you have the most swelling, you know, pooled in one area. And it takes the longest to get rid of.
The longest. And really the lower part of your back. So it's literally where the tramp stamp.
Yes, exactly. Right there. The so tramp stamp spot.
I'm raising my hand currently. I have one. So yeah. So that area. Now, the only difference though is in the back, the skin is significantly thicker and it bounces back easier than the skin in our lower abdomen, especially for those of us who had babies. Mm-hmm. So that part right there is like, it needs so much support. And that's why really that area for me personally, with my journey, I had to wear my Faja for 6 months because I could still feel that there was a difference being made by me wearing the Faja for that lower abdomen. Like everything else bounced back probably by month five and a half. That's when I stopped feeling, you know, that weird pulling and burning and whatever on the sides and, you know, everywhere else. But that lower abdomen still needed longer. So because of that lower abdomen, I recommend wearing a stage two Faja until month six.
Yes. So I agree with that. A lot of patients, I know you guys struggle to keep it on. I know y'all struggle. I know it's hot. I know it's, you know, a burden. I know it's a nuisance. You really don't want to be putting your Faja on every day and putting these boards in and all of that. But it's better for you in the long run.
It is.
It's better.
Protect your investment, ladies.
Mm-hmm. It's all about protecting your investment. Yeah,
really makes a difference.
It really does. So let me tell you guys, before, I don't even know what year, let's say in the last 10 years, maybe the last five of them, Fajas weren't that big. It has barely been like in the last maybe
like two, three years, right?
Yeah, where it's like exploded. Now, I remember when we, in the practices that I worked for, when we started offering Fajas, it was like, oh, what? This is really different. This is really new. We were barely learning back then. And it's even from then to now, it's exploded. The recovery, post-op recovery process has exploded. And I think it's coming from Colombia. I think the methods and the knowledge is coming from Colombia. So that's why it's a lot of that Colombian Faja.
Absolutely. Yeah, I actually researched like Fajas from a historical point of view.
Oh, tell us.
You're 100% on the money, girl. Colombia. And the reason we're all calling it Faja, which by the way, if you say Faja, stop it.
No way. There's people calling
that. By the way, I hear that. So Faja, that's the proper pronunciation. But obviously the word is Colombian. And the reason why the entire world adapted to calling a Faja is because it has definitely originated in Colombia, because Colombia is the plastic surgery capital of the world.
And they do amazing work.
Oh, they do. Because the women down there, I refuse to take my husband on vacation down there. We're not going. No. But yeah, the women in Latin America, absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. And yes, plastic surgery has been massive down there. And the rest of the world is just now catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are listening may know I am actually European. I'm from Germany. I've only lived in the U.S. since 2012.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You did not. Oh my God, girl.
How amazing. Russian, I love that.
Russian, but I'm a German citizen. And so I'm getting more and more clients from London. And I'm sorry, from the UK, not just London, from Germany. I'm noticing a big increase. So that goes to show, you know, that the rest of the world is keeping up, essentially, or is catching up.
It's catching up and it's growing. And you know what's so crazy? I just got an email notification telling me I was number 25 in self-improvement on the charts in Norway. And I was like,
oh, how crazy is that? Yes.
What? That's Norway? Crazy. I didn't even know people were listening to me in Norway. Hey, guys.
That is so awesome. I love that. Yes. Europe is exploding right now. And it used to be like back when I lived there, it was, you know, the rich and the famous. Now it's everyone, just like it is here.
Just how it is here. And my mission, you guys, y'all know my mission is I want everybody to feel that glow up. If they want to have surgery, I want them to feel it because the glow up, it's undeniable. It changes your life.
Life changing. I used to hear, so I'm like a addict for that TV show Botched, and I'm sure you've seen it.
Yes,
have you? Tell me. Okay. If not, you must watch it. But yeah, so Botched, I believe it's on E. I think they, it's on E, but whatever. Somebody said, I don't know why I didn't do this any sooner. And that is like one of the biggest truth statements out there about plastic surgery. Obviously, there is unfortunate, you know, bad experiences out there. That's why it's so, so, so important to research your surgeons and speak to multiple. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you do your due diligence and really research everything and pick the right surgeon, honey, you're definitely going to ask yourself why you haven't done it any sooner.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm. You know, I waited to have my surgeries. I waited 10 years. I was working in the industry for 10 years and I waited because the first surgeon that I worked for, who I love and I respected and I respect him and I followed his advice. He told me, just wait until after you have kids, then you can take care of everything. And I was, I was 18 at the time, 19 at the time. So I was like, yeah, you know what? I guess I'll, because one of my main concerns, I wanted a breast reduction. One of my main concerns was breastfeeding. I wanted to make sure I could breastfeed my future kids. So I waited. But now when I give advice to women who are asking me, I give them the same. Hey, you could wait until after you have kids. So you only have to do it once. You know, you don't risk any. You don't know if you can breastfeed now, but you don't want to add something, you know, to the possibility of not being able to breastfeed. And come on, just do it. It's going to change your life.
Breastfeeding, you definitely don't want to mess up your natural ability to breastfeed because that will really help you drop some weight after having a baby.
Yes, it totally does.
I think I'm trying to remember. I think I dropped 40 pounds after I had my baby, or was it 50? Within like 2 months. It was crazy. I was also stressed because, you know,
newborn. Other reasons.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the original topic.
Sorry. But what I'm saying is, so now when I have young girls ask me, you know, of course, if you're over 18 and it's something like a breast augmentation or liposuction 360 BBL, I would say go for it. If it's something more deep or more intense, like a tummy tuck, I would, if you haven't had any kids, please wait until after you have kids to have a tummy tuck.
Ditto.
Any breast reductions? Yes. Any breast reductions? Please wait. If breastfeeding is important to you. And there's techniques that they can use to ensure that your ducts aren't as damaged or so they don't get cut, but it could still risk the possibility. So it's completely up to each patient. But if it's something that you're going to need for when you have kids, wait.
Yeah, smart. That's good advice. I agree with you.
Thank you. Okay, so now we covered who needs to wear a faja. Now we covered why. Why do y'all need to wear a faja? When? So we've touched a little bit on when, but we can talk a little bit more because I think that is such a wide variation of recommendation. For example, yeah. I've had some women who their doctors make them stay in their garment for 3 weeks and then they're free. Some stay in for six, some stay in for 6 months, some stay in for a whole year. And it really just depends on your doctor, but let's really talk about it.
Absolutely.
So for how long should they be in it? And let's talk about stage one, stage two, and now stage threes.
Okay. So actually let's start with those. So very simple distinction. Stage one, most people wear between 7 to 14 days post-op. If you had a tummy tuck, definitely push for 3 weeks. Take it easy. It's okay to take it easy in the beginning. So as Mavi previously mentioned, stage one characteristics typically are significantly stretchier. Like if you grab the faja, you should be able to like separate, like stretch the fabric at least, I don't know, by 500% of its, you know, natural state without it being stretched.
That is that's such a corporate America thing to say. I know, 500%.
It's still deep within me. I'm trying to get rid of it, but I still have pieces of it in me. So exactly. So also stage one is often just one layer or just two thin layers. Whereas a stage two is now, we were upping the compression by having a harder to stretch fabric. It's thicker. You often have at least two thicker layers, often three layers of fabric on top of each other. And really, if you like, if you touch the fabric and kind of like move it around in your fingers, you'll be able to feel how many layers are in there. And then stage three is just a glorified stage two. So if we're going to talk in compression terms, stage one is low compression, low to medium. Stage two is high compression. And stage three is extra high compression. And you can literally get that by getting your stage two like snatched one last time when you hit the 3 month post-op mark. That's really it.
That's it. So that's there's no science. There's nothing else to it. It's just different. The material stretches differently. Or it has no stretch. It has stretch or it has no stretch. And that's the difference, you guys.
Or less stretch. They all stretch, but you know, it's harder to stretch them. They don't move as far, which means it will hold you in much stronger. Like you're going to feel really, really supported.
Yeah. And I like to tell my patients, you know, when we had our post-surgical patients, we would send them home in their stage one garments. So they would wake up from surgery already in their stage one garment.
Yeah.
And keep it on until you take your first shower, which depending on your surgeon, it could be anywhere from 24 hours to 72 hours to sometimes they don't want you to take a shower till you take your drains out. It really depends on your surgeon. That's completely up to your surgeon's style, but you stay in it for that first, you know, crucial period in those first 2 weeks. You should be in a stage one. Even if you had liposuction only or liposuction BBL, I don't want y'all to push it and try to get into a stage two too early. And I think that's happening a lot where they're getting into stage twos too early.
People panic. They're like, oh my God, it's loose. You know, it's loose. I'm getting compressed. No, take your time, boo. It's okay.
It's just okay.
2 to 3 weeks of taking it easy, because after 2 to 3 weeks, the nerves slowly begin waking up again. And that's the part that we want, because now if something were to be too tight, your body is going to tell you. Whereas if you overdo it in the beginning, you're definitely risking, you know, skin necrosis, tissue death, bad results, you know, bad scarring. You don't want to risk that.
Mm-hmm. Because it's, like, your skin's very like Play-Doh at the beginning. It's very soft. It's all kind of falling into place.
It's mush.
It's mushed. Yeah. And you need that compression to help even that stage one. When they're, you know, they're rushing into a stage two because of whatever reason they feel they need to be in a stage two, you're rushing that compression that you can't feel. You can't feel if it's too tight, you know, and let me tell y'all where it gets too tight or where you can tell that, okay, something's going on is right here at the bottom of your ribs on your sides.
Yes. The sides.
Mm-hmm. Right there at the bottom of your ribs on your side. That's where you'll know if it's too tight that's where you'll know it's too tight, because you'll feel that garment just goes in, digs deep in there, and it hurts.
Yes.
Correct?
Absolutely. I agree with you. The sides are with lipo, and don't be alarmed, by the way. Every one of my clients complains about their sides being the most sensitive and like burning and having that weird sensation.
Yes. So that's okay. You guys in clinic, I would see and I would hear that complaint as soon as they got into a stage two. And let me tell y'all another reason why it hurts. Because they just beat the crap out of us.
Yes,
liposuctioning, all of that fat, giving you that snatched waist. Of course, it's going to be the part that hurts the most.
Right. Yeah, and it's right on top of bone.
Yes.
Super. Yeah. If you YouTube liposuction, you're going to see how violent it is.
And I have another episode for y'all.
Yeah.
I have another episode for y'all with this topic of why you shouldn't do wake liposuction. And ooh, this is one of the reasons, because they can't do what they need to do to give you that snatched waist if you're awake. Mm. You need general anesthesia for that. But that's another episode.
Yeah. The only time it makes sense is if somebody has like really bad reactions to anesthesia. But that's the only time. Other than that, girl, take that nap.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's such an amazing nap.
It is. Like, for real. And you wait, you go to sleep. I mean, you go, they roll you to the back and you're just, okay, I'm about to have my new body. And then you wake up and you close your eyes and you open them up and everything hurts. And then you're like, okay, I got my new body.
Man, for me, I didn't even feel the pain until after the general anesthesia started to get out of my body. I can't say that I felt pain at all, actually. I definitely felt soreness. I would describe it to, you know, doing CrossFit for 24 hours straight, but not actually pain. And then your doctor should definitely prescribe some medicine to you to manage the pain. Personally, I only took like 2 days worth of Percocet because I was like, I think I'm fine. So, but everyone is different in that journey. So again,
everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Right. So some patients have a very high pain tolerance and some patients have a very low pain tolerance, and you don't know what you are. And especially if you've never had surgery, you won't know until after. Right. Which one you are.
Scared.
Yeah, don't get scared.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah. It's worth it.
It's worth it. But what I was going to say is, okay, just because we touched on it a little bit, and I want to emphasize, you guys, when I made Bruise Juice, I made it thinking about this recovery period, because I remember how hard it was for me when my nerves started to wake up. There was 3 things that I freaked out about after I had my surgery. Number 1 was, at first, my butt was too big. I was freaking out. It was way too big for me in my mind. This is too big. This is too big. This is too big. And then when the swelling started to go down, I was like, oh my God, it's going away.
Girl, that was literally, there's like literally steps to it. It's like, oh my God, what do you do? This is huge. Oh my God. Like, my husband's going to leave me. And then you're like, ooh,
I kind of like it.
And then, oh my God, where is it going?
Where's it going? Now it's going gone.
Yes. Like, oh snap, I need a round 2. Like,
So with that in mind, okay, the main ingredient in Bruise Juice is arnica. So the arnica, what it does is it's bringing circulation to the area. It's dissolving bruising. So it's making that bruising go away. And on that note, I need y'all to look up hemosiderin staining. Hemosiderin staining is some of those marks that you see on women who have had liposuction, that it kind of, you look at them in a bikini, or you see them and it looks kind of like tainted, like there's color underneath there, or like maybe some leftover bruising or something. Mm. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's like a little purplish.
Yeah, it's a little purplish. That's called that's hemosiderin staining. And that's because their bruises stayed for too long. Oh. So the skin stains. So you guys, when I Bruise Juice makes your bruises go away faster. So it's making that chance of hemosiderin staining go away, because we're like, the patients that I've had sample it for me, they had their bruising gone by the end of the first week, like gone. Maybe a little bit left, but the faster you get that bruising gone, the less possibility of staining. And then second, when your nerves start to wake up, and this was my big problem, because I would be at work in my garment, and oh my gosh, right here in my ribs, but to my back, like my back ribs, it would hurt so bad. Like if I had spider or ants with fire on their feet crawling on me. That's my nerves waking. That's your nerves waking up.
That burning.
It feels like burning. It feels like
pulling,
like scratching. It just feels, it's your nerves waking up. They're like, what's the word? Regenerating.
There you go.
It's your nerves regenerating. Well, when you use bruise juice, it takes off that top, that feeling that, I don't know, you know, when your leg falls asleep and it starts to come back, that's the feeling you get when your nerves are, when your nerves are regenerating and they're getting sensation back. That's what it feels like. So my sample patients have been, they're the ones who told me, hey, I've been using it when I get that, the burning, and it helps. It helps with that skin sensitivity. So hallelujah. Thank you, because that stuff hurts. And to know that we can, now I know, oh my God, I can give this to my patients, or I can recommend this to my patients when they're feeling that and it's actually helping. I wish I had it back then when I did mine. But
I love that name.
Bruise juice.
I'm all for it. I love it. Bruise juice.
Bruise juice.
That's pretty creative. I love it.
Thank you. But I, you guys, I made it for this. Like, I made it for this. If there's anything on your list for your recovery, it needs to be your fajas, your medications, and your bruise juice. Because you can use your bruise juice from as soon as your doctor gives you the go ahead. But usually in the first few days, you should be able to use it on skin that's not broken. Make sure it's not broken skin all the way until your recovery is done, because it doesn't just help with like immediate things that you need it to do. It also helps with that long term, that skin sensitivity and stuff.
You know, when I was recovering between massages, I would use arnica gel to, you know, obviously rub it on my skin for, you know, controlling the bruising and getting it down. But also it allowed me to like self-massage a little bit, which always made me feel better.
Yeah. And you know, those gels, they have a lot of alcohol. They have alcohol in it. So it rubs in pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I formulated mine, it's more like something you can use to massage, because I want you to massage it in. Like, it's absorbed quickly, but it's not like water on your skin, like the way those gels are.
Does it have moisturizing properties?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
That has dried people's skin out like crazy.
It has moisturizing properties. It's going to take care of your skin. Like, literally, you guys, you cannot go wrong with it. If you use it after your liposuction, anywhere, any place you put it on where you had liposuction, you're going to feel relief, and you will feel the difference from where you use it to where you don't use it. Mm. One of my sample patients, she was only using it because it brings my theory that I have been proving is it brings blood to the area, right? It brings circulation. So it's bringing what grafted fat needs to survive. Right? Why doesn't fat survive when it's grafted? Because it's not getting enough circulation. Either the fat cell was damaged, or the fat cell didn't get enough circulation, blood circulation. So if we're bringing more blood to the area at the same time as we're decreasing the swelling, at the same time we're decreasing the bruising, we're creating a healthier, more viable environment for these fat cells that are being transferred, you know? Because what's happening is they don't grab, they don't take, the fat doesn't take. But why doesn't it take? Because it's not getting blood. It's too tight. It's too much fat. It's too compressed. So we need to get the swelling down, get more circulation to the area for that fat to survive. So you can have fat to feed, you know, later on. In that first few weeks is when you have to, that's when you need the fat to survive. That's why you're not sitting on your butt. That's why you're not putting compression. Yeah.
Crucial.
Those first few weeks are crucial. So my friend was using bruise juice on her booty only, because she only had a limited amount of fat. She's like, if I only have this much fat to use for my BBL, it better all take. Every single drop. So she was using it only on her butt. And when she was sending me pictures, she was like, should I use it on my back? I'm like, yes, girl, you should be using it everywhere. And she's like, oh my God, no wonder. Now I really feel the difference. When she started using it on her lower back right there in that tramp stamp spot, she was like, oh, the relief. Because what she did was rub it in, massage, get that swelling down. And get the blood flowing. I'm telling you guys, it's a game changer. Telling you. Anyways, okay. So now we talked about the different stages. We talked about how long. For your recommendation, how long do you think they should be in a garment past the first 6 weeks?
I have to say on this one, the same thing I always say is listen to your body. I for sure recommend pushing through 6 months. Like, that would be my number one recommendation. I know that sounds like a lot, but time really flies. It really does. And I know that myself, when I took it off sooner than that, I still felt that weird feeling, you know, the burning sensation and everything. And I could literally feel my skin and my lower abdomen pulling down. And it almost felt like whatever the Faha did to reattach the skin to the fascia and the, you know, the muscle layer and everything behind the skin that it was detached from, it, the moment I took the Faha off, it was undoing it and pulling it down. It's like, it's literally a pulling sensation. So every time I put the Faha back on, that feeling would go away. And the longer I would wear it, the less I would have the feeling, because more and more connections have been formed between the skin and the area that it was separated from inside of your body. So my recommendation really would be, if you absolutely cannot stand the Faha life, you know, push through 3 months, take it off and see how you feel. If you continue to feel the burning and, you know, the pulling sensation, really seeing yourself swell up, because it's going to be very visible. Like, you're going mm-hmm. to notice that your midsection swells up like a good 2-3 inches. It's very, very visible. So if you still see that, I highly recommend you just suck it up a little bit longer and continue wearing that Faha, because it really, really does make a difference. What else did I want to say? Oh, so personally, I wore it probably 23/7 the first 6 weeks. Yep, month and a half. And at a month and a half, I love sleeping naked. My skin has to breathe. I stopped wearing it at night. So at night, I would just lay there, but, you know, laying on the skin. So it was still being pushed into, mm-hmm. you know, it was still being pushed into my body by the mattress and, you know, the pressure of laying on it. So that helped. But, you know, 24 hours in the day, 8 hours of sleep. If you get lucky, that still leaves 16 hours of being able to wear your Faha. So that's pretty much what I did starting at a month and a half. So 6 weeks post-op all the way until month six. In month six, I was still wearing it occasionally. I still wear it occasionally, like on days that I want to look super disrespectful in an outfit. But
or know, even when you're like, when you're on your cycle, there's a saying in Spanish. It's not a saying, but it's like, if you gave birth, fajate, because the word is faja is like the word is garment. Yeah. Means like you get yourself in a garment. So you have a baby, you get yourself in a garment. You're on your cycle, you get yourself in a garment. You had a C-section, you get yourself in a, you fajate. Fajate, fajate, fajate.
Okay, everybody, fajate.
Fajate.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think there's actually a brand. Oh, no, it's different, but it's very similar to fajate. I love it. It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. True. If there's any, okay, when you wear your jeans all day and you take them off, you have marks on your skin from your jeans. It's the same thing with your faja. You put it on, you're going to take it off. It helps you. It helps with some of that shaping during the day, but it's what it's not do. What it's not going to do is mold you or give you results that are not there already.
Absolutely. Don't let these like too good to be true types of statements fool you. It's not true.
It's not true, guys.
However, don't let that be a negative thing, because I'm sure the surgeon that you chose did their mother trucking thing on you, mm-hmm. and you probably look fabulous under all that swelling. You just have to have some patience. I always recommend to not judge your results until you hit that 3 month post-op.
Minimum.
That's a magical time. Yes, minimum.
Y'all know I'm all about making sure you wait long enough before you try to do any touch-ups. I would say at 6 months, if there was any touch-ups that needed to be done, they could be assessed at that time, at 6 months, and plan for after that.
I agree, because by 6 months, in most cases, I would say 98, maybe even 99% of your swelling has gone away. You don't want to operate on a body that is still healing. That's just not good.
No.
Any surgeon who does that, that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm. If they're telling you, if they're okay with you having surgery again before 6 months, that's a no.
Run,
you guys. Because even after childbirth, you know how many, I've had women in my inbox who just had a baby. a couple days ago and they're trying to get a tummy tuck. And it doesn't work like that, you guys. You need to give your fajate, number one. And then number two, you got to wait 6 months minimum. But for most doctors, they want you to wait a year before any touch-ups, any work is done.
Right. I mean, you don't want to aggravate your body or like create more opportunities for like really stubborn scar tissue to develop or anything like that. So I definitely
agree
with you on that.
I would like to end this episode with a huge thank you to all of our listeners. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to subscribe to Big Butts No Lies Podcast and follow us on Instagram at Big Butts No Lies Podcast. If you have a topic you want me to cover, please send it to the DM. If you know anyone on their plastic surgery journey, be sure to recommend them the show. You can also visit us on our website, bigbuttsnolies.com. You'll see the online surgical recovery store. We're adding new items all the time. If there's something you think I need to have on there, send me a DM. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget, new episodes every Monday. I'll see you then.